Thank you for tuning in to the University of Minnesota Extension Center for Youth Development podcast. My name is Carrie Rabideau, and I'm an Extension Educator. Rebecca Meyer, also an Extension Educator, is joining me for this podcast today. Hello and welcome.
Hi, Carrie. Thanks for having me. And feel free to just refer to me as Becky.
I will do that. Thank you. Mm-hmm. In this podcast, you're going to be sharing ideas of how to encourage community in youth programs. Will you introduce this topic for us? And I'd like to have you start by sharing your background on your work in this area, why this is of particular interest for you, and lead us into this conversation of encouraging community in our youth programs.
Sure. So, well, thanks again for having me. My interest in this topic is really around, I'm very interested in program design and how we intentionally think about the creation of those opportunities for young people through the different kinds of programs that we offer. And so this has been a thread throughout my professional career, looking at just how is it that we, what is it that we're trying to do when we're working with young people or training volunteers to work with young people, and how is it that we're putting together the program so that there's relevance and meaning for those young people in the kinds of programs that we're offering. So that's led from, it's program development work and program design work, evaluation. I mean, there's all kinds of different components that are a part of that. And then from that work, I've been working with colleagues in Extension to look at program innovation. So how is it that we're continuing to move our Extension programs that we're offering in this context of youth development so that it is something that is of interest to young people, that they're making a connection with it, and that it's helping them to develop and fostering those ideas for community.
So it's really about having intentionality in our program design, and that will ensure the success and impact and the development of community in our programs, not just in a place.
Yeah.
But with the people who are involved.
Yeah. Who are those relationships and how are those relationships developing in that context of a program?
Okay, well, that leads us into the three things that you're going to walk us through today as we discuss this idea. First of all, establishing patterns of behavior and planning for potential program shifts. Secondly, you're going to walk us through some research that grounds this positive youth development approach to that community feel. And then finally, you're going to share with us four strategies to encourage community and foster youth belonging. Why is this an opportune time to think about this?
So I think when we're thinking about the programs that we are designing and creating and offering for young people, so one of the things with regard to the shift it's just looking at our patterns of behavior. So I think that it's easy for us to continue doing kind of the same stuff that we do from year to year. But it's important for us to pause and reflect and think about how is it that I'm going to do this year, and really think about those outcomes that you're hoping for young people. And, you know, there's a lot of information in the literature about the importance of routines and what those routines can mean for children. You know, I even think about us as adults in our own learning. I think, you know, a lot of being familiar with what's going to happen and how it's going to happen. So like, for example, in a conference or a meeting, like there's an agenda that kind of outlines the roadmap for where you're going. So the same thing is true in our programs that we're offering to youth. We should have a roadmap for where we're going and think about the purpose of each of those activities and whether or not it's helping to attain whatever those goals are for the program. And I think it's, for me, when I was thinking about the encouraging the community within our programs, it's really about thinking that in these times of transition from summer into fall, or, you know, maybe it's the change between semesters or quarters in the academic year, or like when school is letting out and we're moving into summer, like all families and youth have different kinds of supports in those transitions, because we know through the literature that young people rely on those routines. When there's a disruption to those routines, that may put them in an imbalance, right? And so they're not as secure about what's coming next because they're not so certain. And that may be, for some young people, very uncomfortable. So one of the things that we can think about in the patterns of behavior for young people is, what are we doing to help create that safety for the young person as they're entering into our new program year, or as they're entering, you know, if it was summer time approaching, we could think about it in the context of our camp programs, for example. So that's some of the opportunity, I think, is for us to really to be recognizing that there are these shifts that are happening and these patterns of behavior that are really comfortable for us. But when there's a change, then, you know, we might need to think about the entry in of a new person or a young person into our programs, and how do we create that stability for them in this time of change. So there's just different things that I think we can consider when we're designing the programs that we're offering to youth.
It's interesting to hear you talk about that, those natural transition times, and how important it is for us as we're planning our next program year to not just jump right into it, that we should pause and reflect. Let's move on to that second piece of the research then behind this idea of why community would be so important for young people in terms of the positive youth development approach that we work with in 4-H and encourage other youth programs to take. And what is the research background that you use to push forward this community approach to youth programming?
I think one of the key pieces that I think about is within our 4-H youth development context, we have those four essential elements. Those four essential elements are belonging, independence, mastery, and generosity. And for me, I think that first one of belonging is really critical. So if young people are walking into a program and into this setting, and they understand or feel that the adults who are in the space with them care about them, and that there's sort of that sense of belonging within the peer group, like that's where we can start to move forward in regards to those other elements around independence, mastery, and generosity. So I really spend a lot of time thinking about that first one. How do we create a safe environment where young people can begin to feel like they belong here? And what are some of the ways that we can create, or what are some of the activities that we can do to help ensure that that's happening? So sometimes young people come into a program and they know the other kids, but maybe they don't feel like they belong. Or maybe they come into the program and everybody who's there is brand new. So how do you create natural places for getting everyone in that new group to a place of belonging? And what are some of the activities we can focus on to help them move toward that feeling of safety and security, and that they are being, you know, that people really care for them in that space? So that's the first place where I really, you know, that's where it's really important to set up those, you know, opportunities for breaking the ice, you know, and team building too. How do you create sort of a sense of community among that group of individuals, knowing that they're all coming with different experiences before they come to the program? And that, you know, everybody's day is a little bit different too. So somebody may not be feeling like they, you know, like I need to be here, but I'm not really sure that I want to participate. So how do you create an opportunity for them to engage in the space with those others who are there? And one of the things I think we can really focus in on is belonging. And then those other things I think will come after you have that sense of belonging. You know, beyond that sense of belonging in the essential elements, our colleague Mary Arnold from Oregon has a new model that really focuses in on the model for 4-H youth development, and some of the different aspects of her research, which is you know, really looking more deeply at the context of positive youth development in that lens of our 4-H programs. What are the things that we can be focusing on to help young people develop in a space where they do develop that community. She has a number of different developmental contexts that she brings in. The sparks, what is it of, you know, what's that interest a young person has for why they're participating in the particular program? She also talks about the relationships and the importance of those, which I, again, think goes back to, you know, sort of extending on that belonging piece, and then the quality and the engagement within that context of the program. It's really about meaningful opportunities for young people to focus in on something that's of interest to them, that spark. That's probably what landed them coming into the space to begin with. But then there are pieces that we can do to help create those opportunities for that community so that they really are developing caring relationships with both their peers and the adults who are in the space with them, as well as focusing again on that program intentionality around the quality of those learning experiences that we offer to young people and how they're engaging. I think all of those things are really important to that whole development of the child. It's not, honestly, those things are really great things for us to think about even as adults in our communities too. So that's what's really great about Mary Arnold and this new thriving model for youth development. It's thinking about how do we help young people develop and build those skills and mindsets to, you know, foster a positive community as they continue their learning.
And develop that spark within themselves to keep digging deeper into their interests, right? Yes. And as you mentioned, we're working with the 4-H program with her model and developing those ideas, but definitely transitions over to other out of school time. Mm-hmm. Youth development programs. Now, you have talked us through that transition time, and I think we can all recognize when our youth program is in that situation and grounded us in that positive youth development and thinking about the Thrive model, where it's so important to have that community and group of people who are developing that spark and having a shared experience and moving forward. The next thing that you're going to do is share 4 strategies that will encourage this.
Yeah. And so I just want to like put a disclaimer out there that I have 4 strategies that I suggested that, you know, we can use as educators and adult community members. Yeah. And I know that there are other great strategies that people are using to help encourage community and, you know, enabling young people to develop a stronger sense of belonging and whatever those experiences are that they're participating. So, I mean, I think the first and foremost, you know, it's really about making that connection with a young person and sharing that, you know, or showing that you care for them. And one of the first ways I think we can do that is honoring who they are when they come to the space. So, you know, it's a welcome and, you know, how are you, but also getting to know, like, what is their name, and using their name consistently, because that is drawing for them this connection that, you know, you really care about them. Like, because you're making that connection through the use of their name, when you see them in the community, continue to say, oh, hey, you know, and use their name. William, how are you today? And what are your plans for this week? And I think, like, even for me, I get excited when kids remember my name. So, you know, it's not just, hey, you were there showing me how to do some engineering activity. Like, they recall who I am. And I think that, you know, it works both ways for us to get to know them and for them to also to know us. I think the second strategy is to use rituals. This goes back to the routine piece. You know, they know that when they come in, you're going to spend time sort of catching up with each other, hearing a little bit about their day, having them share their names and a little bit about what's been part of their day, kind of the checking in, but then overviewing what is going to happen in that time that you're together, so that as the experience is moving forward, they know, they have a sense of what's coming next and they can prepare for that. I also think building off of opportunities where they're working together, so team building and collaborative work together is really important, because that will help to facilitate, again, that sense of belonging. But it's also a really nice way to facilitate play and learning and just fun, you know, so they begin to laugh together. And like, that's a good sign when you have laughter in the room that they're getting along and they're feeling comfortable with one another. And I think the fourth strategy that I suggested was the, you know, using storytelling so that you can help connect those learning experiences. So some of this is application of what is the experience and how that applies to their outside experiences beyond the program to really help connect that learning for them. So those are some strategies that I suggested. And I know that there are some other great strategies, and it was just really an opportunity to that conversation started about how we can encourage community within our youth programs.
Well, and I do thank you for encouraging us to stop and recognize those natural transitions in our youth development programs and consider how we can make sure that we're intentionally, through our program design, incorporating community. And you've really helped us understand the importance of that again. You know, I think that it's so easy to get into our youth development programming and we do things because we know that they're just good things to do. But that stopping and reflecting of why we do the things we do, and that it does have great impact on our young people if we're intentional about that work.
Yeah. And, you know, it just reminds me too that even because, you know, I mean, I talk about using rituals. I mean, they're really important and we know that they do what we want them to do, but taking that time to pause and reflect and try changing it up too. I do think that there's some value in that as well, but I think doing that collectively with the group of young people, sort of asking, you know, how might, in through that reflection, how might we do this a little bit differently? Because sometimes in doing things differently, it leads to some other ahas that are really great and important.
Well, Becky, you have shared strategies with us today. And as you mentioned, you've started the conversation. I want to also point out that you've written a blog post called How Your Youth Program Can Encourage Community on our Youth Development Insight blog. I would encourage those that are listening and have other ideas that they would like to share and engage in conversation with Becky about this topic. Thank you for sharing this with us today, Becky.
Yeah, thanks for having me. And yeah, absolutely. Please share your other strategies. I know there are lots of great colleagues out there who are doing wonderful work with young people, and it would be great for us to broaden that community of educators working with young people to foster an even our own community as we're thinking about how we intentionally think about program design.
And for those of you listening, head on over to our website at www.extension.umn.edu/youth. You will find a link to our Youth Development Insight blog there. You'll also find more information about training and education tools that youth workers can use to encourage and foster positive youth development approaches in your work. Also, check out our Minnesota 4-H program if you haven't already. Thank you again for joining me today, Becky.
You're welcome. Thanks, Carrie, for having me.
This is Carrie Rabideau from the University of Minnesota Extension Center for Youth Development. Please tune in again soon.